I don't know if we mentioned this or not to you, but Mark and Bridge are not here. That's pretty obvious. But they're up in Ottawa, Liberty Church, one of the church that is part of the group that we relate to. And they're just up there to bless that church. And they've been keeping them busy, I think, since the day they arrived on Friday. And so we just want to continue to bless the work that God is doing in and through them. And as a result of that, Mark has given me an opportunity this morning to share the word with you. And again, we're continuing in our series about what's so amazing about God's grace. And I believe this is going to be part 15. I think, is it up there? And it's God has chosen us to be a part of his plan. And that itself is an amazing demonstration of his grace, is that he would choose us to be a part of what it is that he's wanting to build, to be a part of the church that he is building here. I often wondered, Lord, why did you choose to do it that way? I mean, you could have just, you know, made people come to you, but that's not what his plan was all about. And I'm going to, basically, we're going to read in the book of Ephesians. And because you know that God has chosen, it says in Ephesians 1, 4 to 5, it says that he's chosen us and has predestined us in Christ before the creation. But I'm going to be reading out mainly out of chapter 3. Before I do, let's just pray. Holy Spirit, you're just so amazing, and we just can't do anything without you. Heavenly Father, you gave us your Holy Spirit to be our counsel and guide. And Holy Spirit, would you just do that this morning? Would you open all of our hearts that we would understand what it is that you're speaking to us today? Would you open up our hearts and our minds to give us a clear revelation, a clear picture of your plans for us, a clear picture of who Jesus is, that we might experience a greater dimension of who you are, to help us to grow and become the men and women and children that you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to just, if you go to your Bibles again, chapter 3, we're going to pretty well be concentrating most of our time there. We may flip, we'll see if that works or not, a couple of chapters ahead or a couple of books ahead, but if you can just go to chapter 3. I'm going to be starting at verse 7. What I love about this is we're going to be reading a passage in Scripture, and it's wonderful because in the midst of it we see all of the Godhead involved. We see the Father, we see His Son Jesus, and we see the Holy Spirit all working together as team. And that's just, again, a picture for us to remember how it is that God wants us to be as well, working together with one another. So we pick it up from verse 7. It says, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me. And this is Paul speaking to the church in Ephesia, in Ephesus. Through and working, let me read that again. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the workings of his power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration or the plan of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. And in him, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you therefore not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Amen. I've always loved that scripture. It's certainly been one of my favorites. And it's a powerful scripture because we see again a picture of what God has intended for His church to be. That it's in the church that it's the, He says that the manifold wisdom of God is displayed. But I'm going to try to break down three or four, five particular verses, because I think in those verses, these are verses 16 to 19, I think there are key things in those verses that will help us to be that church that God has called us to be. And so hopefully, with the help of the Holy Spirit, our hearts open to receive, just kind of unpack that. So it helps us to get a better glimpse of what that means. Now we start in verse 16. I love what the Amplified Bible actually says, because the Amplified says, "May He grant you out of the rich treasury of His glory." And I think that's such a beautiful picture of what God is speaking about. May He grant us. That's something, when someone grants you something, it's someone who has the authority to be able to do that. Like a king, for example, may grant you a something. He may grant you the ability to do something, or ability to do, or to go something, somewhere. And I think it just adds an extra dimension to what it is that I believe that the Holy Spirit would have us see there. That God is, it says, it's granting us, and out of the rich treasury of His glory. This isn't just out of His riches. It's a treasury that's filled beyond how, more than what we could imagine it is. That just define the absolute depth and breadth of who God is. And He says, He's strengthening us with the power in our inner man. He's granting us power. And it's not in order to be strengthened, as He says, in the inner man by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. And this word power in the Greek, and we've heard this before, is dunamis. And the reason I want to highlight this is because it's not just any kind of power. It's a power that comes from God that He grants us. And it's a power to achieve by applying the Lord's inherent abilities. This is not our power. This is not a power that we can build up in itself. But it's a power that God grants to us. And it's a power for us to do the things that He's called us to do. And it's a power that comes through God's ability. And that's the key thing about this word. Is God is saying, I'm going to strengthen you in My power by My Holy Spirit. And I'm going to strengthen you in your inner man, in that place, in your heart. And it's the enabling that comes with that is what it is that the church needs in order to accomplish the purpose that God has given us to do it. In verse 17, the other key aspect is that for us to be the church that God wants us to be, to be used by God in this wonderful, glorious plan that He has, it says that Christ may dwell in our hearts. And that word dwell means that God wants to establish, Christ wants to establish a permanent residency in you. It's not a superficial thing, and He wants to establish it where? In our hearts. Because in our hearts is the foundation and the seat of our thoughts, our passions, our desires, our appetites, our affections, our purpose, and all the things that we do. Our heart is who we really, really are. And in order to do what God's called us to do, we have to allow Christ to come in, to dwell, to take habitation in us. I know yesterday Dom was sharing about how God wants to build character in us. But But he also said that that's, again, a choice that he gives us. And the choice to allow Christ to dwell in us rests with you and I. But we need to, a critical part of being part of God's plan is to allow Him to dwell deep in our hearts. And to be, as that verse continues in 17, to be rooted and grounded in love. That our roots of our faith, the roots of who we are, would actually begin to grow and flourish in His love. And again, that word rooted means to be firmly established, to be in common with Christ. And you can see that if you want to flip up to Colossians, but I'll just read it out of Colossians 2:7, where it says, I'll find it here. So then, just as you received Christ as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. And we're also to be grounded. And that grounded is an architectural term. It's to make stable. You see, we need to be stable. We need to be not just rooted, but stable. It's in this context of a building, it's to be founded on a foundation. And we are to be founded on the foundation of who Christ is. We can't be founded on any other kind of foundation. We need to be rooted and grounded in love, and Christ is love. So we needed to be rooted and grounded in Him. And like so many things, a combination of, as we begin to incorporate these things, as we allow God's power to work through us by His Holy Spirit, His enabling power to work through us, as we allow ourselves to let Christ truly dwell in our hearts, rooted and grounded in Him, what begins to happen? All of a sudden, it's about our relationship with Him begins to grow. And there's a depth of intimacy that begins to grow as we allow the Lord to do this in our hearts. So that when we read verse 18, when it talks about grasping, to comprehend or grasp is possible only as we come into this place of intimacy with God. You see, as we allow Jesus to dwell in us and become part of us, we begin to understand who He is. When we allow someone to cohabitate with us, it's like if you're living with someone. And because of the closeness and the proximity of that relationship, you become to know that person deeper. And as we begin to do these things, we're able to grasp the love of God. We can grasp, to grasp and to comprehend, so that we can have the power and experience to understand the extravagant dimensions of who Christ is. You know, the scripture is talking about knowing, again, the depth, the height, the width of God's love. And we can only experience that. The extravagant dimension is just, again, trying to paint a word picture of how we know, how we need to know who Christ is. And we can only do that if we begin to incorporate these things into our lives, that we can know the dimensions, the extravagant dimensions of who Christ is, which just, again, speaks of an understanding and of a knowledge of God that only comes when there's a closeness of relationship with Him. And then in verse 19, He says that we may know the love of Christ. And this knowing, the meaning of the word, again, is a knowing that's based on a personal experience, on first-hand knowledge. It's not a knowing that comes with, you can tell me about something and say, you know what, I just found out about whatever it may be. And you go, oh, that's great, that's wonderful. And you've kind of captured something of it. But this is not a head knowledge. This is a knowledge that goes deeper than that. It says, to grasp how wide and long and how high and deep is the love of Christ. The other thing about this verb, which means to grasp and to hold on, is it's a very decisive initiative. In other words, it's something that you don't just, it doesn't happen. It comes with a certain intentionality to it. It's something that we need to hold on to in order to grasp. And it comes again as part of a decision that we make. That once we make a decision that Christ is the center of it all, as we talked about, that He begins to unravel new dimensions. We're able to understand things that we didn't understand before Him. In order that we know the love of Christ, again, not a head knowledge, but a knowledge of His, but a knowledge and understanding based on our experiencing this amazing love, that we may be filled with His presence and filled with God Himself. Because that scripture, if we look at it, says that we may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And what does that mean exactly? Well, that word fullness means to be made complete, to be filled to individual capacity. And if we just flip over to Ephesians 4:13, it says, again, it says that God gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for the works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure and fullness of Christ. And part of coming to that fullness, and I'll describe in a minute what I believe that fullness is an aspect of coming to a place of maturity as well. You see, when we begin to incorporate these things into our life, there's a maturing process. That's the Bible, in biblical terms, is called sanctification. That's the work of a continually growing and maturing. That work of sanctification is your responsibility. Each one of us has the responsibilities to grow in wisdom of knowledge and who that is. But it's talking about being filled with what is, again, this fullness of Christ. And if we go to Colossians 2, 9 and 10, it says that Christ is the fullness of God. It says that all the fullness of the deity lives in Him. And that's the wonderful thing, as I shared before, but we see the workings of all the persons of the Trinity. And it says here that all the fullness of the deity actually is in Christ. And you can check that in, again, Colossians 2, 9 and 10. Ephesians 1, 23 says of Jesus, let me go there. It says, and you also were included. No, I'm sorry, I've got the wrong verse here. It's verse 23. And God placed all things under whose feet? Under Christ's feet. And appointed Him, Jesus, to be the head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. Isn't that amazing? That Jesus actually fills the whole universe with His presence, with His power, and with the things that He do. And that's what this fullness of Christ speaks of. When I was thinking about it and just pondering it, I thought, you know, there's a lot of things that they're always discovering now in science that we never knew before. But simply because we didn't know that they existed doesn't mean that they didn't exist. They existed. It's just we've come to a new revelation. And, you know, they're discovering, you know, because technology gets better. And we're discovering that they can look into the universe with more powerful telescopes. And they're discovering new planets, new stars, new galaxies and solar systems. They're merely discovering what's already existed since the beginning of time. You know, they have microscopes now that can go, you know, we used to go at atomic or subatomic level. Well, now they can see things deeper than that. They're discovering things that the human eye and regular kind of microscopes could never see, but they're discovering something that already existed before that. See, the fullness of God, this aspect of Christ filling the whole universe, it says, this is what the Word of God says, with His presence and power, with all existivity, is something that's accessible to us, believe it or not. And it's key, and I'll try to unravel that, and it is a key to us, the church, the body of Christ, to do what He's called us to do. And if you can just imagine, because this is the picture that came to me, you know, they're discovering things also in the depths of the ocean, never knew existed. They're discovering species of fish and other life. And they're saying there could potentially be tens of thousands of them. It's why? Because they're building vessels, you know, that can withstand the pressure of the water and be able to go down to incredible depths. And you probably, if you've ever gone on Discovery Channel, this is hopefully going to help you, give you a picture of what I'm talking about. But you've seen these things descending. And they're so deep that light doesn't reach those places. There's darkness. And so you see these vessels traveling, and the only way they can see this thing is because they have lights fastened onto them. And they flick these things on, and all of a sudden you see a whole world. You see fish that you've never seen before. But they always existed. And what God wants us, when He's talking about us, to be filled with the fullness of Christ, I believe this is what a picture of what it is that He's trying to reveal to us. You see, just because we don't know Him in that way doesn't mean that He doesn't exist in that way. And it's almost like that vessel that descends into the deepness of the oceans, that enters into an unknown area, an area of darkness. And then all of a sudden, Jesus, who is the light, comes. You see, as we develop this intimacy with Him, as we allow God's power, His dunamis power, to work in and through us by His Spirit, as we make the decision that says, I will invite and allow Christ to dwell in me, and that I will be rooted and grounded in Him, that as I begin to understand the extravagance of what this love is, it's like that light that comes and illuminates suddenly something that we haven't seen before. It's the light of Christ who comes. It's the revelation that comes by the Spirit of God that opens up a dimension that we never see. A dimension that includes His presence, a dimension that includes His power, a dimension that includes all the things that He is doing. Suddenly, we begin to see that through the eyes of Jesus. And why is this important? I mean, that's a key question. Why do we need to do this? Why do I need to make that decision in my life to allow God to do that? Why should I want to? That's a very good question. And we see that if we go back a few verses. In verse 10 and 11. It's because God's intent is through the church that His manifold wisdom should be made known to the powers, to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places, so that God's plan for the church is carried out. Not our plans, because if it was our plans, we'd be in trouble. But His plans, which will accomplish His purpose. His divine intent is to make known God's all-encompassing wisdom, the wisdom that's revealed in God's amazing, grace-filled plan of redemption through Jesus Christ. And Paul speaks of this mystery in verse 9. We can go back here. And he says, and to make plain to everyone the administration or the plan of this mystery, which for ages was kept hidden in God who created all things. Paul is saying, what God is intending to do, the manifold wisdom that God is wanting to reveal, is God's plan for salvation. You know, there's a whole lot of good things that we do sometimes in church. Good things is not enough unless we have this revelation. There's a lot of good agencies that exist in the world. There's a lot of good that people are doing. There's other religions that have their books of wisdom. But it's not the wisdom of God. And the good things in themselves, and the best thing that they could possibly do, is agencies that go in and they said the work that they do is great, but the best thing that they can often do is just deal with the physical body. They can supply food. They can display comfort. They can display a lot of those things. But that's as deep as it goes. See, God's wisdom is far greater and far above anything we can imagine or understand. But as we allow God to do these things in us, which come again out of a sense of intimacy with Him, we begin to understand the plan that God has. Because God's plan, as I said, the mystery that Paul speaks of is that salvation is available to everyone. The manifestation of the wisdom of God is to tell the world that salvation is now for everyone. Christ the Redeemer, God's plan to reconcile mankind to Himself, that His eternal purpose was fulfilled in Christ and in the work of the cross. This is what the church is to make known to all the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This is the display of the wisdom which the church and which the world is to, which the church is to display, in which billions of people on this planet have never seen before. And the church is to be that display of His wisdom, that manifest wisdom of a loving God and of His redemptive plan made in through His only begotten Son, Jesus. The church, His bride, is to be that shiny, brilliant reflection of Christ, displayed for all to see, for all to marvel, and even in order to fear Him. And so I've concentrated on breaking out these five scriptures because they are key to be able to fulfill the plan and purpose that God has for us. We, the church, sometimes we look at the church and we think of the church as an organization, but it's not. And I know where that sometimes comes from because I grew up in the Catholic Church. And in that church, it is an organization. And some of you come from denominations where, again, there's that sense that it's the church's mandate. But you know the church is you. It's me. We are the body of Christ. So when the Word of God says that is His intent is through you, that this manifold wisdom of God is revealed. This manifold wisdom, this wisdom that is far beyond earthly wisdom, this wisdom which is the good news, this wisdom which is that we would be the display, that we would display to the world in our actions and what we do and in the love that is in us. And the things that we do, again, we don't do it because we know it's good, but we do it because of what Christ is doing in us. That's what He wants the church to display. Because as I said before, any other effort, you can deal with the physical pains of people, you can give them food, you can heal their wounds, but God wants to go deeper than that. He wants to go deeper. He's bringing salvation. He's bringing a plan, which is His wisdom, which is a plan of reconciliation, which existed from the beginning of time. And He wants the church, He's chosen to say, the church, you're going to display that wisdom for Me. And you're going to reveal the good news, which is, guess what? God wants to heal all of you. Not just your physical body, but your spiritual self. He wants to save you. Salvation is no longer... Remember, He was speaking to believers who thought somehow they needed to be a part of something. This is part of God's grace. There's nothing you can do. Salvation is a free gift from God. We are to display that. We're to say, salvation is for everyone who receives Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's the manifold wisdom of God. That's it. And as people begin to understand that, as we take an active role, you see, there's nothing passive about faith. There's nothing passive about being a Christian. It's all about being active. It's all about being intentional. It's all about making choices. Choices to say, God, this is what Your Word says, and this is what I'm prepared to do. Make adjustments in my life to allow You to come in. You see, God wants so desperately, and He's made a way to reconcile to You, to be brought into this place of close intimacy and relationship with You. But again, it's a choice that you need to make to allow Him to do that. It requires, you know what? I don't have much more to say, although I could say more, but I just feel I want to make some time to allow the Lord to speak to you, because He does have more to say to you today about what we've been talking about. The Holy Spirit has more to say to you about that. And it's going to require a deliberate response by you. God's grace reveals His desire, His plans, and His love for us. And our response, how do you respond to that? How do you, I think it's simply sometimes it's just, Lord, here I am. You know, if we've been listening to what the Spirit of God has been saying to us over at least a year, maybe more. He's been wooing us. You know, if you've been coming to the Wednesday nights, you know, God's been speaking to us. He's been wooing us closer to Him because He understands the only way we're going to understand what this message is that He's given the church is to be in this place of deep intimacy. Wednesday night, last Wednesday night, we sang, there's two prophetic songs, two prophetic lines, because they were simply lines. And one of them was, so we turn our eyes upon You tonight. And the other one was, nothing is impossible for You. And you know what? It's such a simple line, but it's so profound. Because everything that I've spoken about, everything that I've read in that passage in Ephesians is possible. If we turn our eyes simply to Him. You see, so often, and I may be the only person in this room like this, maybe all of you are okay, but so often my eyes are fixed on so many other things. God wants our eyes to be fixed on Him. There's so many things that are happening in the world. There's stuff that Kevin talked about. We can't fix our eyes on the stuff, guys. If we fix our eyes on the stuff, we're not going to go where God wants us to go. And we're not going to be that body of Christ that He's called us to be. Such a simple line, but if we make that shift, which is going to just completely transform our lives, where the emphasis is not going to be on what we think is important, what we're fixing our eyes on, but turning our eyes to say, Jesus, I'm going to fix my eyes on You. I'm going to allow You to live in me. I'm going to be rooted and grounded in You. because I want to know, I want to grasp the extent of this great and amazing love. I want to be filled to the fullness. I want to see things that exist, but I can't see now. But I can do it as I allow you to come in. And I thought, I asked the team, you know, I think, why don't you come up, Muso team? Because again, I don't want to add by my words, but I just want to allow the Holy Spirit to come in and massage this deep in our hearts, because God has much more to speak to us on this subject. Because His intent is that you and I would display His wisdom to the world and reveal His plan for the world. So if you can stand. I've asked them, actually, that song that we sang today says exactly the same thing. Jesus be the center. You see, it's taking our eyes off of where we think we should be, and it's making a dramatic change and fixing our eyes and saying, Jesus, you are the center. And as you sing that, would you just allow the Holy Spirit to give you a greater revelation of what that entails? And if you want to make an active demonstration, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you this morning and there's something that you want to change in your life, I'm going to invite you to just come forward. It's just a way of demonstrating. It's not mandatory. You don't have to. But sometimes it's good to do that. Saying, Jesus, I'm taking seriously what your Holy Spirit has been speaking to us. But allow these not just to be mere words, but allow those words and that truth to massage deep in your heart. Otherwise, guys, all we're doing is playing church. I don't know about you. I'm tired of doing that. I want to see it all. I want to experience it all. And I want to be a part of what God is wanting to use me. You are the body of Christ. You and I are the church. And you can display the extent of His wisdom by allowing Him to come and change and transform you. Amen.